myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I don't know why I become a little shy when I get around a whole lot of people, and I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. I must confess I can't express those feelings deep inside me, the things I know. Glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King that day. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. Well, I'll pass the clouds and shout so loud it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes may fill the sky until it looks like rain. As I leave this world past the gates of pearl and stand before my Savior, I'll lift my soul, let the glory roll when from the roll they call my name. I'm gonna let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm gonna get beside of myself when I get beside the King. I'm gonna have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away. I'm gonna get carried away when I get carried away.
On this, I forgot to get hooked up and ready to preach. We had a board meeting right before church, and I have a tendency, if I don't do everything in the order I'm used to, I forget something. So I forgot getting plugged in. So we'll take just a moment to get that done and get hooked up while I'm doing this, if I can do two things at once. I do want you to remember Mrs. Friedline in prayer. Mrs. Friedline's one of our dear ladies. She was admitted to the hospital this afternoon. Well, great. They spend all of their money designing these nice cordless microphones and spend 5 cents on designing the clip that holds them on your belt. And so the clip is somewhere on my body. And I'm kind of scared. There it is. Whew. Mercy. Brother Sam, come up here and sing another song and let me get wired up. All right, would you please? Thank you. I'll tell you what, better still. Brother and Mrs. Hill, come up to the platform, would you, and give a testimony about your trip to the marriage couple's escape. Now, while they're coming up, pray for Mrs. Friedline. Mrs. Friedline was admitted to the hospital this afternoon. She and her husband went on the marriage couple escape, and she had to be hospitalized this afternoon. Next year, we're going to put an age limit on those that can go to the marriage couple's escape, because we don't want our older people ending up in the hospital because there's just too much excitement. Would you give a testimony, please?
I don't think age has anything to do with it. This was our first time that we went to the marriage couple retreat escape, and it was wonderful. I'd like to encourage all of you that haven't been. First of all, we heard a lot of God's words about how to strengthen our relationship and our marriage, and that was a blessing in itself. And then also, do you want to talk?
Sure.
Okay. I got
equal time.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, it was great because everything was taken care of. From your room to your food, everything was taken care of. You could hang out with other couples, or you could just go off on your own and have your own date time. And that's what we chose to do, just go and kind of reconnect a little bit. So I wanted to thank the Lassiters and the Pollocks. It was a wonderful time. Amen. Thank you. We're in next time. Okay.
Amen.
It definitely was a lot more than I expected. I thought we were just going to go on the beach and stick our toes in the sand. And there was a lot of teaching. And as she said, Brother Todd and Brother Pollock and Mrs. Lassiter, I didn't hear what she taught, but they taught some very good stuff, and it strengthened our marriage. Brother Todd spoke on our relationship with God, and it was very, very good. It was a way more than I expected, and I would highly recommend it to any young couple or older couple that would like to go. It was wonderful, and I thank you again. That was very, very good. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, thank you all.
Thank you.
And in that short period of time, I got wired up and plugged in, and I'm ready to go. Whose responsibility is that? Sound man? All right. It's one thing for an old preacher to forget to get wired up. It's like coming to church and forgetting your wife when you don't turn on the things that need to be turned on. All right. Open your Bible tonight to two passages of Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm just thinking of people that turn in and say, those bunch of hicks down there in Texas. Listen all over the world on the internet. And they're saying, those bunch of hicks in Texas. I wonder where they tied their mules. Well, for those of you that are listening and you can't see, we have a hitching rail right outside. We park our wagons and our mules and our horses out there. Sometimes it takes 350 horses to bring a family to church. They're all under one hood. Somebody just got that. Miss Lemon hadn't yet. Horsepower. All right, let's look on. Ephesians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse number 1, stand out of love and respect for the word of God. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's talking about the new birth that takes place in the life of the sinner when he puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Are you doing what God planned for you to do after you got saved? Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We'll leave off reading there. And I want us to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll look at just two verses. What precious verses they are for a Christian, one who has truly been saved. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I want us to speak tonight on this subject: pagan Christianity. Pagan Christianity. I ask that you look at one more verse with me in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Father, help me tonight as I bring this message. Help the message to be clear and plain and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, that if we might examine our life and our walk and our relationship with you, as well as our relationship to this world. Help us, Heavenly Father, never be guilty of giving Christianity a black eye or causing the testimony of Christ to be tarnished by the way we live and the way we act. Help us to be men and women saved by your grace who are learning to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, I need your help tonight. Help me to make plain the message that you've given me to preach this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Title of my message tonight is Pagan Christianity. And I take it from the idea and the philosophy I see in the average person that calls themselves Christians today. The world has no understanding of what a Christian really is. Even most of the religious world knows nothing about being a Christian or living the Christian life. They think living in America makes them a Christian. Because mom and daddy are Christians, they think that they automatically are Christians. We have no idea of knowing what it is to live a Christian life or being a Christian. Being a Christian to most is no more to them than being a member of the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts or some lodge. We're becoming very quickly a society of pagan Christianity. The word pagan means non-Christian. I'm sad to tell you, we've got multitudes of non-Christian Christians. People who say, "I'm a Christian," and know nothing about being a Christian and having no peace or certainty in their heart. They're religious. It refers to people who know not God nor Christ as their Savior. A synonym for pagan is heathen, infidel. And our generation has produced a society of non-Christian, heathenistic, infidelic Christianity. Titus speaks of this type of person when he says in Titus chapter 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. When I hear things that I think that will, or read things I think will be good illustrations, I jot them down for further use, future use. Now, I was on my way to Terrell, Texas, about 1995, when my mother was still alive, and she was in a home there in Terrell, and I'd go down every Thursday morning, drive down there from here, and spend some time with her, and feed her, and sing to her, and love on her, and then come back. Of course, driving down there and back, I'd turn on the radio in the vehicle and listen to it. And on this particular day, I had it tuned to KLIF. This was November the 9th, 1995. And there was a news conference with Deion Sanders. Deion was a new member of the Dallas Cowboys. And they were interviewing him. And they were interviewing him concerning the Cowboys and the 49er game that was to take place the following Sunday. In the news conference, Michael Irvin dropped in. He came by and said, and this is not an exact quote, but the sentiment is correct. Deion wants to know, Michael said, how loud the fans get at Texas Stadium. Let's show him next Sunday. Then he said, get up and go to church first between 8:30 and 10 a.m. We got to give God his. Then you can go home and have an hour of grace before leaving for the stadium. Start using the happy stuff about 11 o'clock. And you'll be ready to rock the stadium by 3. Now, and I'm still quoting, now the stores that sell the stuff you need to drink is not open on Sunday, so stock up on Saturday. Now don't forget, we want to give God his first. That's the attitude of pagan Christianity that's prevalent in our society today. I see more and more of the religious people in our nation becoming more and more pagan in their actions and their religion. On that same trip, another commentator on KLIF said, and I quote, Christianity is noble, but when business and Christianity conflict, Christianity must take a back seat. Now, he said that over the air, and I don't know how many of thousands of people heard it and used it as an excuse to practice the hellish principle he set forth that contradicts totally the Word of God. This is the attitude of too many so-called Christians today. Let me give you some scripture. Colossians 1:18. In all things, Christ is to have the preeminence. Hebrews 10:25. God is talking to Christians and he tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He didn't say, unless you have to work. He didn't say put work first. He didn't say put profit before God. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, we're told to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind. That means before profit or pleasure, God is to be number one. Revelation 2:4. We're told to love Christ with our first love. And I'm sure you were taught on the Marriage Couples Escape that your love for each other as husbands and wives are to take second place only to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to have the preeminence. He is to have the first love. And may I say that if you don't love Christ preeminently, and if you don't love Him first, you don't have the right kind of love to give to each other. You're settling for less than God wants you to have. Matthew 16, verse 24, tells us we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and we're to follow Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to take a look at what I have called this pagan Christianity of day. Now, I gave you some illustrations of 1995. Let me give you a modern day illustration. Some of you are going to get upset at me. And you know what? I'm going to take a baby aspirin, a half a baby aspirin, and go to bed tonight to help me not to worry about it. The latest New Ager and her church. You ready? I'm talking about pagan Christianity. It's called the Church of Oprah. Have you heard about it? You can check it out. It's available on the internet. The Church of Oprah. Oprah recently was recognized by some group as the most spiritual person in the United States of America. I want you to know up front, she is a fake and a fraud spiritually, and if you believe her, you're a fool. The Church of Oprah, in its first gathering, had 300,000 people present. There are 3 million people who are following her in the church at of Oprah. Now, what are some? Hey, it's strictly New Age. It's not the Bible. It's not Christianity. It's pagan Christianity. It's of this world. The God of this religion is not the God of heaven. It's the God of this world. If you drew him in a cartoon, he'd have horns, a red suit on, and a pitchfork. It's old Booger Man. And here's some of the things that she emphasizes in her new church. I'm going to read them as they came up. Number one, do not make the pathetic era of clinging to the old rugged cross. Number two, my salvation, she said, comes from me. Number three, my holiness is my salvation. You know what she is in the sight of God? Filthy rags and running sores. Just like you and I are without Jesus Christ. Fourthly, the only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Oh, here she goes again. Let me remember that there is no sin. That's the lady some of you tune into religiously. You'll love this. Heaven is not a location, but refers to the inner realm of consciousness. That's Sister Oprah. Pastor Oprah. Here it is. She said, my mind is part of God's, and I am very holy. And lastly, the man on the cross is an archetypical image. He is in every man and every woman. Talking about Jesus dying on the cross. Now, this is what's going on in the world today in the name of religion and Christianity. It's pagan. It's pagan. It's not Christianity. It is religion without the Bible. Now, let's take a look at what I have called pagan Christianity. First of all, it's a form of religion without the new birth. A form of religion without the new birth. Sister Oprah. I'm calling her that for the benefit of the other pagans. Not, she is not my sister, spiritually or otherwise. Sister Oprah does not believe in the new birth. And I want you to know there are churches all over this country that are not believers in the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Pagan Christianity is a form of religion without the new birth. And hey, folks, there's people trying to join this church every month without getting saved. They don't understand that you've got to give a testimony of a personal faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. And we're even getting letters or emails from people of other religions criticizing our belief. Bible church people criticizing us for believing in believers' baptism like the Bible teaches. Why don't we put them through a 12-week course so they'll understand? Bible didn't say they needed to go through a 12-week course. It says they that gladly received His word the same day they were baptized, not in order to get saved, not as a part of salvation, but as a testimony, a public profession of their faith in Jesus Christ. I don't expect a Bible church believer that's not Baptist. They do not have a heritage back to a Baptist church. I don't expect them to agree with Baptist doctrine. They're not what we are. And yet they want to call us and correct us, and we're believing what Jesus taught back in when He established the church. Stirs me. Pagan religion is a religion that ignores the Lord's church. And we can see pagan religion in everything from homeschoolers to complete unbelievers. Had a young man, his wife and kids came and visited him. They said, we're just here for so-and-so. We have our own home church. We're homeschoolers and we don't believe in church except at home. I said, well, when do you have your soul winning program? Where do you, how many missionaries do you support? What are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? What do you do with your tithe? Pagan Christianity. Now, I'm not opposed to homeschooling, but I'm opposed to the homeschoolers that are opposed to the Lord's New Testament church. More and more, this religion is turning away from the church and the Bible. Just church. Pagan Christianity is a religion without a changed life. See the verse where God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That verse no longer applies in pagan Christianity. By the way, there's a lot of the Bible that don't apply. in pagan Christianity. Prayer in the end zone and cussing in the news conference is acceptable. In pagan Christianity, going to the church at 8:30 a.m. and getting drunk at 1 p.m. is permissible. In pagan Christianity, you can go dancing and carousing in the honky-tonks. You can drink and sleep around as long as you close your day with prayer and amazing grace. I've called that for years the gospel according to Dolly and Nashville. Pagan Christianity is a religion that does not build a relationship with God, nor does it change one's future. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, I shall begin to read in verse number 13, and Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were religious. They were supposed to be the leading Jewish religious group in that day. Jesus said unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Jesus is talking to a religious group that knew nothing about Christianity. Pagan Christianity sacrifices their children on the altar of worldly pleasure. They sacrifice their children. They give them over to the devil. They'd rather them be popular than be saved and be right. Let me read you some verses. Deuteronomy 18:10, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire." That's talking about them being offered as a burnt sacrifice to Molech, a pagan, heathen god. "Nor are you to use divination or observe times or an enchanter or a witch. This is the command of God for his people." In Jeremiah chapter 32, 35, the preacher is preaching and he tells us they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And what they were doing, they called themselves the people of God, but they were offering their own children in burning as burnt sacrifices to the pagan god Molech. And you say, what kind of people are they? Same kind that offer their children on the sacrifice of worldly pleasure and carnality. You don't teach them and train them in the things of God. You don't keep them in church and in the youth department and in Sunday school where they can be taught the Word of God. You send them off, and rather that they be a cheerleader than a soul winner. You'd rather that they be popular in football or baseball than to be a child of God sold out to Jesus Christ in the youth department. Sacrificing your children on the altar of the world. Tell me that's normal. No, it's pagan. It's the philosophy of pagan Christianity. They want you to know what good Christians they are, but they live like the devil and they live for the world. Now look at what the Bible tells us about true Christianity. First of all, we're told that true Christianity begins with a miracle verse, a birth. It begins with a miracle birth. Look at verse number 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Christianity is not something you gradually evolve into. It's not a process over months or weeks. It's not taking a series of courses and suddenly you just become a Christian. It's not like going through our Genesis class after 12 weeks you get a certificate. Christianity begins with a new birth experience. A miraculous experience whereby an old sinner is saved, he is converted, he's born again, he's quickened, he's passed from death unto life. If you can't look back and remember that new birth experience, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. True Christianity worships and obeys a new God, not the God of this world, not the God of profit and pleasure and popularity, but the God of the Bible, the God who created heaven and earth. Look at verse number 2. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he hath loved us. But God intervened. God changed their life. God saved their soul. The devil is no longer their God. The world is no longer their God. They have met the Lord Jesus Christ and have been born again and reconciled to the thrice holy God of heaven. If you haven't experienced that, my dear friend, you have no right to call yourself a Christian. True Christianity worships and obeys a new God, not the God of this world. And our new God is the old God, the God of the ages, the God that always has been and never changes. Thirdly, true Christianity exhibits a changed walk. Look at verse 2, 3, 4, and 5. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of that wrath, even as others. That's what we used to be. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For God, for by grace are you saved. Whew. True Christianity exhibits a changed walk. Notice that statement. In times past, it means today, because of Jesus, I don't live and walk and practice things that I used to practice before Jesus. By the way, just as Jesus changed the calendar, Jesus also ought to change your life and your walk. If you know him as your Savior. True Christianity provides a future to look forward to. Look at verse 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. I want you to know salvation not only changes our life, Christianity changes our life and our walk here, but it also gives us something to look forward to in ages to come. And thank God it's not this world. It's heaven. Now in Christ, we already have a heavenly standing. We're already seated in heavenly places because of Jesus. We have a heaven. heavenly standing. And one of these days, we're going to be there personally. One of these days, there'll be no more reading about it, preaching about it, thinking about it. One of these days, we'll walk the street of gold. One of these days, we'll swing open the gate of pearl. One of these days, in the ages to come. Then, true Christianity produces a new purpose. Look at verse number 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now you listen to me. According to that verse, not one person that says they're a Christian can say, God doesn't have anything for me to do. You need to change that. You don't know what God wants you to do, or you know and you're not doing what God wants you to do. But the Bible tells us He saved us and performed His miracle of grace in us so that we might serve Him in our Christian life by doing good works, right things, spiritual things, Christian things. Thank God in Christ I have a new purpose. In Christ, my purpose is not to see how good I can be in the athletic world or how good I can be in the business world. My new purpose is to honor Him and glorify Him in my life. And then may I say, true Christianity begins a new relationship and new relationships. Look at 12 and 13. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And thank God in Christ, we have a new fellowship with God. We have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have a new relationship together in His church as a family and as servants of God to carry out His great commission in this world. Have a new relationship. Let me conclude. Can you truly say you're a Christian? If nobody ever heard your testimony or heard you speak, all they do is see your life, would they conclude that you're a child of God? Christianity has a bad rap today. They didn't get it from Oprah. They got it from us. Because we say we're saved and we may truly be, but we don't live like it and we don't act like it. Now I expect unsaved Oprah to act and believe like she does. But I don't expect a child of God that says they believe the Bible to act like her or act like the world. God doesn't expect it. The miracle of God's work and God's grace in us and for us has made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, has prepared us to glorify Him and serve Him and honor Him with our lives. Can you truly say you're a Christian? Are you closer in resemblance to the pagan Christianity of today? Well, as we draw nearer to the coming of Christ, we're going to see more religions without the Bible, more religions without Jesus, more religions that don't accept the new birth and believers' baptism and local church membership and family. I'm not going to be one of them. I know what I was when Jesus came to me and spoke to my heart. I know what He did in my heart and in my life. I know how He's used me over these years. And I cannot deny Him now. I don't want to deny Him now. I will not deny Him now. I believe this book. I believe the God who wrote it. And I'm happy to live by it, for there I have been blessed. There I have found peace. There I have found purpose. And there in the very contents of this book, I find myself in a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Pagan Christianity. Are you more like they are? Or more like the Christian of the Bible? That's something every one of us need to take heed to. Take a look at. Some of you teenagers, you need to take a close look at it. I'm appalled at people who give up everything in their Christian life just for a job. That's not the most important thing. The will of God and the place of God and the blessings of God. Most important things. Father, that's our message tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight? We live in a world that has turned against the Bible. They've turned against Jesus. And the following of these people are astounding. Lord, somebody in Hollywood can broadcast their idiotic beliefs and people flock to them. God, would you help us to be wise enough to believe the book and love the God of the book and trust the salvation taught about in the book and make Jesus the theme of the book preeminent in our lives. We love you. Lord, if there be someone here tonight that needs to be saved, at this invitation, help them to come and make that decision for you. If there's someone here that needs to come for believer's baptism, help them to do it this very night. We'll thank you for every decision you make that's made in our hearts and lives for you. Help Christians to look at our hearts and lives. And Lord, if there's any touch of the influence of this pagan Christianity that's going on today, pagan religion, let us kneel before you and get it right with God and get back to the book and the God of the book and the doctrines of the book. We'll thank you for what you do in our heart in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's